He's worthy. There's a word from the Lord today. I'm excited to be here. It's a privilege to come into the house of the Lord one more time. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. First, give an honor to God, who's the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to his Holy Spirit, to the angel of the house, Pastor Mobley Jr., and to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a two-part text on today. And come and go with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Have that one ready. Philippians is a short book. You know, I understand that we might mess up and not find it, but it's right there before Ephesians. After Ephesians, but before Colossians. I told y'all before, it's the go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. We'll go to that fourth chapter, and we're going to do the sixth and the seventh verse. And then put your finger there and get the gospel recorded by St. Luke ready. St. Luke, and we're going to do chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Now, I'll give you a pass on Philippians because it's small, but if you can't find Luke, we just going to stop and pray right now. All right. Y'all can turn me up just a little bit. But, I mean, Luke is just right there. I guess sometimes you got to get in where you fit in. You know, the preachers ask you to go to Malachi. You end up in Micah. You know, it happens. Sometimes you got to just kind of, at least they both start with M's. But we're talking about Luke. Luke is Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's the third book of the New Testament. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. We'll read that second. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say wait on me. Amen. Y'all look good today. Y'all look good. Amen. Amen. There you'll find these words. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses some. Okay. I just make sure y'all was awake. All understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All right. Now, let's read. This is a very familiar one here. Luke 8, 22 through 25. There you'll find these words. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out, but as they sailed, he, being Jesus the Christ, fell asleep. Somebody say asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. But he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Amen. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. We want to use for a thought. We want to ask a question to you today. And repeat after me. How to sleep during the storm. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. Lord, we thank you for what's taking place so far on today.
Lord, we thank you for everybody within the sound of my voice, oh Lord. Lord, we just ask right now that I decrease so that you may increase, oh Lord. Speak to me and speak through me. Lord, use me in a way like never before, oh God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, let the word go forth with power and accuracy. And Lord, just let chains be broken and bondages be loosed on today, oh Lord. Lord, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for it belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. How to sleep during the storm. How many people slept like a baby last night? Anybody sleep real good? I mean, that's not a lot of hands. That is not a lot of hands. Some people don't really sleep too well at night. Some of us didn't sleep too good last night at all. How many people did some tossing and turning last night? Had to get up and use the bathroom several times. Just couldn't get right. How many people was a little too cheap like me and didn't want to turn the heat on? So I knew I wasn't by myself. I just got the light bill down. We're not going to turn the gas bill up yet. I'm walking around. I had to get ready to put on my sweats and stuff. I said, man, but I was not going to turn the heat on in October. Some people take a long time to fall asleep. Some people, some people can just, before they even get horizontal in the bed, they knocked out. I know people like that. Amen. I know people like that. And, some people, when they hit the pillow, it wakes them up. That's how quick they can fall asleep. Me, on the other hand, if there's a TV on or something going on, anything going on, I can stay awake until the sun comes up. Chloe was downstairs and the whole family was downstairs. I was upstairs and they were watching TV. Everybody downstairs sleep except Chloe. As long as the TV was on, Chloe was going to stay awake. Everybody else in the family was in the dimension, knocked out. Some of us are sleep deprived for various reasons. Some of us haven't had a good night's sleep in forever. Some of us are sleep deprived because of the troubles of this world, or we're sleep deprived because we are consumed with everything else in the world. We're sleep deprived because trouble's knocking on our door. We're sleep deprived for many of reasons. Some of us are sleep deprived because we're word deprived. Some of us are sleep deprived because we have deprived ourselves of consistent fellowship with God. See, the world has a remedy for what they call sleep deprivation. The world has a remedy for what they call anxiety, bipolar, panic attacks. They have remedies in the medical field for this. But I'm not going to hold you long. We're going to go right into the message. Gerard, don't laugh at me. I'm serious. I'm not going to hold you long. Amen. I knew I'd get one. I knew I had one in the house. Amen. Our first point is stop worrying. How do we sleep during the storm? Let's stop worrying. Philippians 4:6a says what? Be anxious for nothing. Anxiety, when I prayed about it and kind of took Webster's term and asked the Lord about it, anxiety is to have worry or exaggerated concern over a threat of something that hasn't even happened yet. Did you hear what I said? It's to be totally consumed and totally worried about a threat or anything that hasn't even happened yet. All right, I'm going to tell y'all a story. I've been a big guy my whole life, never had any major health problems. And I was on my honeymoon, and we got to about day 3 or 4. And I'm telling y'all, I might have told the story before. Act like you haven't heard it. And I thought I was having a heart attack. I said, what in the world? But I got to looking on web browser MD, and
Googling, you know, because you can tell them you got a paper cut and they'll tell you you got 24 hours to live. And I looked up and I really didn't have the symptoms that they said, but after I read the symptoms and what they were, I had the symptoms. So I got to worrying and we're having a good time. I don't want Ina to think she married a hypochondriac. So I'm just constantly, and I'm sitting there just kind of staring, you know, that dumb look on your face. And she looked, she said, "What's wrong with you?" "Nothing." She said, "Something's wrong." And I finally told her, she said, "Well, you know, they had a little doctor at the resort. We were in Cancun." And I said, "Ina, I don't really want to go to the doctor in Mexico. No offense, but we losing power here. I'm just ready to get back to the States." Amen. I'm ready to get back to the States. So the last couple days, we pressed through. We had a good time. But I was so busy worrying about having a heart attack that I really couldn't enjoy it. The funny thing about anxiety in the mind was as soon as we got from Cancun into Minnesota, we wasn't even home yet. But as soon as we got to Minnesota and I got off that plane, I started feeling better. I ain't kidding. I felt like a new man. And I was like, we running through the airport because we almost missed the flight. I'm running, but just got through spending the last 48 hours thinking about a heart attack. And we running through the thing. I said, this is weird. You know, I feel. Now, when we got to Kansas City, woo! I didn't have a worry in the world. But I still had enough worry. So then when we got home and I was glad to be home, I started, you know, I never really cared about driving, but I'm driving down the highway and I'm just nervous. I would feel little things on my chest and I didn't know what was going on. Just worrying. I went to my daughter's office. They did a little regular thing. She said, "Hey, nothing's wrong. You're not, your EKG is good. Everything's great." I said, "Look, doc, I can't even take your word for it. I'm so worried. I need every workup you got." I had to take a full day off of work because they did whatever test that there is to check your heart. I had it. And Ina said, "Do you think that's going to be good enough?" I didn't even think about that till she said it. But after all that, as big as I was and the size, and the doc said, "Your heart is unusually healthy considering how big you are. I can't even understand it." Now, when he said that, I was able to remember that God is in control. Come to find out, I just had a little hernia here that needed to be repaired that was causing some of the symptoms. But no heart issue. But I lost 3 or 4 months of my life consumed with worry and anxiety. I'm sitting in my office, and I would feel this little pressure, and I couldn't even work no more. As soon as the pressure hit, I was done. They may as well just sent me home because I was no good, because I was just sitting there waiting for the heart attack to come. I was getting ready to start doing the Sanford and Son. Because I was waiting for the heart attack to come. Just sitting there. Couldn't even focus on nothing. People talking to me. "Aren't you hearing me?" "Yeah, no, I don't hear you. I don't hear you." But I was worried and it consumed me. I never really gave the situation to God. I would say I would, but I never really did. I just let it consume me until I heard from the doctor that everything was better than okay. But what God was trying to teach me was you were always okay before you even got the report from the doctor. We worry and stress over everything. How long do you go through your day before you start worrying about your money, your bank account, your spouses, our kids, jobs, bills, other people's business, Facebook posts, Twitter accounts, Snapchat, Instagram? We're stressing. We got kids stressing over posts. Over Facebook drama. We got people getting shot up over Facebook posts and stuff like that. We got stress and worries coming out of everywhere. Worry is selfish too. Nothing can coexist while worrying is going on. Nothing good. Okay? Now, stress can coexist with worry. Failure can coexist with worry. But if you're a creative person and you're worrying about a whole bunch of other stuff, you can't function. Your creativity will take a back seat to worry. Amen? If you're a hard worker and you do good, you know, your hard work will take a back seat to the worry, to the stress in your life. Panic attacks and anxiety attacks. I remember we had this young lady I used to work with, and she would get so worked up at work because, you know, the kids would be stressful. They would kind of, you know, we work for the state. We used to would have to walk her into the freezer to get her to de-escalate and calm down because her anxiety would kick in so heavily. And she said, well, I don't want to take any medicine, and I don't want to do this. And I really don't understand, but I think anybody who's been diagnosed with anything, I don't want to talk against or go against your doctor, but I just think back to Big Mom and them and Great Grandma and them. They didn't have that stuff. They didn't have that stuff. My daddy had the prescription for ADHD. It was a leather belt. And we calmed right on down every time. Right hook, left cross, whatever it was, you would immediately lose your energy and you'd be able to focus again. That was the prescriptions that we had. Amen. And now, as adults, as soon as we see our kids getting off the bus, baby, hand me my pills. Hand me the medicine. I need them right now. Happy pill. I need them. Zanny, whatever they are, I need it because they're about to get off the bus. And some of us know we don't even need them. Some people do, but some of us, we just take them because I can't deal with it today. We doing stuff, but that we don't have to do to get through worry. And all it does is suppress the emotion, the feeling of worry, but it doesn't deal with the cause. You see what I'm saying? You see where we're going with this? We can take the happy pills and we can take a few sips of this, smoke the cigarettes, whatever you think is going to help, but it just temporarily suppresses the emotion and the feeling of worry, but it doesn't deal with the issue. But I declare today that the Word of God has a prescription for anxiety. The Word of God has the prescription for panic attack. The Word of God has the prescription for worrying. I don't get to be home during the day sometimes, but I took a day off one day and I was watching TV and I forgot that during the day they advertise all the medicines. Amen. Y'all see them in between the soap operas. If you watch Young and the Restless, you see them come on in between. Every medication comes on in between the commercials. And some of these medications, I'm like, oh, it helps people with this and they can sleep. But then the side effects is, you know, if you take this, you'll start bleeding out your toenails. If you take this, you'll have migraines and blurred vision. And well, I'll just deal with whatever I'm dealing with. Okay, because the headache is better than me losing my sight. Amen. The headache is better than me just falling down and bleeding out of orifices of my body. It's not, well, you know, some tests show, well, I'm okay. But the Word of God doesn't have any negative side effects. Prayer doesn't have any negative side effects. Building up our relationship with God doesn't have any negative side effects. We have to stop worrying. To my next point. Now we have to stop worrying. That's right. And now we have to start praying. Amen. So we have to stop worrying. This is how we're going to sleep during a storm, because nobody sleeps during a storm. We have to stop worrying. And now we have to start praying. Amen. Philippians 4:6b says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Amen. We got some saints in the house today. It's a nice crowd, and we got saints all across the world, and we can always use more, but what we really need more of is some prayer warriors. Amen. People, we don't pray like we used to. You know, we're not on our knees praying like we used to pray. Amen. We understand that there's really no true elevation without consistent spiritual meditation. Amen. The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. The Bible says that some only come out by prayer and fasting. The Bible says that we have to pray without ceasing. The Bible says that make your requests be known unto God. Not Twitter. Not the Facebook post. Don't ask Abby. Amen. We don't have to do those things that the world is doing to try to gain comfort and understanding. Okay, we have to start praying to God. Let me tell you something. Membership is not always indicative of relationship. Uh oh. Come on, if you miss your opportunity to praise, I tell you, like I told him last week, wait to the next point, because this one you might not get with me on this one, but it's okay. Membership is not always indicative of our relationship. So people come to church and, you know, they show up and they do what they do, but that doesn't mean that they have a good, consistent, strong relationship with God. You can show up all day, every day, but if you only talk to God corporately on Sundays and Tuesdays, we in trouble. We in trouble. If we only praying when the storms of life are raging, we in trouble. We in big trouble. But our relationship will show in the quality of our membership. Are we clear on that? Does that make sense? Okay, because if our relationship is where it needs to be with God, then the membership and the quality of it will flourish. Won't be any question about it. You can tell a relationship by a person's membership. I know. Nobody wants to hear that. I'm sorry. Not sorry. But what I'm trying to say is that if we're really sold out for God and we're having constant conversation with God, then there will be a manifestation of change on the outside because of what has taken place on the inside. Amen. We clarifying now, right? I know it hit me hard too. But if we really change and we really working with God and we're allowing God to mold us, people around us will be able to see the change in us. We'll see consistency in you. We'll see you bouncing. Everybody falls short. Nobody's perfect. We're going to have good times and bad times. I'm going to be good one moment. I might fall off the next moment, but I'm going to keep getting up. But we have to start praying. See, one thing for sure that doesn't coexist with a true relationship with God is worrying. When we really are in a consistent relationship with God and we're talking to him and God is talking to us and it's a two-way street, worry will decrease. We won't worry as much if we pray more. We won't worry as much if we pray more. So we're going to stop worrying, and we got to start praying. Now, I got a few clips. They're going to get ready. I'm going to see if y'all can guess the third point by these next few clips, okay? So we got stop worrying and start praying.
But how many people were scared of her and did not?
So y'all got to look. Oh, that's one. That's one. She needs to start doing something, but I will figure out what that is. There's something that she ain't doing that kind of caused her some trouble. But y'all watch it. Y'all watch it for a minute.
Was using the jab to set it up. There it is, right on the point of the chin, and that what creates knockouts.
That's one. So as he gets it, you know, she took one on the chin, and she might be done. She won't be in the sequel. Now here goes another one.
Oh, a beautiful right hand. He's out. Down goes. He's out. Dominant, good, beautiful right hand.
Yikes.
And this fight is over.
That's exactly what we were saying. Walking him.
He's done. He retired. He won't be back.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did for a straight right hand.
He won't be back. You can go to the next one. I got one more because I want to make sure y'all can guess the next point here. Now, here goes this.
This is a foul fest now.
Now, check him out. Now, check out what happened here. He's punching in the air.
He's not getting up. He's not getting up, Bobby. He's out.
All right, thanks, bro. Okay, so all three of these people who have officially been put to sleep, what is it that they did that allowed them to get knocked out? All my boxer fans, what happens when you get knocked out like that? What did you do? There we go. Let's go to the next point. We have to stop dropping our guard. We have to stop dropping our guard because that's how Satan continues to knock us out. We laughing at them people, but spiritually, this is us. Spiritually, this is us laying on the ground, punching the air, laying on the ropes, looking deformed because we done got knocked out. But spiritually, this is what happens to us because we keep dropping our guard. Philippians 4:7. Let's bring it back to the word. Let's bring it back to the word so y'all don't think I'm making this up. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will what? Guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I didn't make it up. See, we don't need Craig and Day Day. We don't need top flight security. We don't need first line. We don't need TSA. But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is what will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What does dropping our guard spiritually look like? How do we do that? I'm glad you asked. Well, what happened with these two fellas and the young lady as they sleep? There's two things that make us drop our guards. We either get real comfortable with things of the world, or we get real worried about things of the world. Amen. So those boxers were either real comfortable or overconfident and thought they had things under control, and the other person got the best of them. Or if I keep punching you in your ribs, or you keep getting hit with this right, eventually you become worried about the right and forget about the left. So you're guarding the right, but the left is down. So I catch you and knock you out like the fella right there that was punching the air. So we get comfortable in things of the world. Things are going great. We're winning from a worldly standpoint. We're elevating. We're moving on up. Everything's looking great. So we're no longer praying. Amen. And we don't have to worry because we're on a mountain right now. We're on a mountaintop. So everything looks good. So we're not praying because there's nothing to worry about. And we're dropping our guard because why? We're comfortable. We're comfortable. There's nothing to worry about. I am good to go. Bank account's right. School's going good. Kids are behaving. Husband, wife, everything on top. I'm up for a promotion. Everything's good. And you haven't talked to the Lord since Sunday. And that's because your membership looks great because you come to church every Sunday. So you've talked to the God on Sunday because pastor preached and the choir sang and everything's great. So you talk to the Lord about once or twice a week because everything looks good. But your guard spiritually is down because there's no relationship with God. So therefore, your guards, you're totally open to the hook, the cross, the jab, or whatever, because you have no relationship with God. So you're not being strengthened by interacting with God. So Satan, who moves about the earth like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour, amen, the Bible tells us to be sober and be vigilant, but we're none of those things because why? We're not in consistent relationship with God. So with that being said, we're open to whatever attack that Satan brings our way. We're putting our focus and energy into the wrong things. We are consumed with the things of this world, and we're not consumed with the betterment and the business of God's kingdom. Amen. When our relationship becomes consistent and strong, we will become consistent in the business of God. And then everything else will fall in place. The Bible says, and all these other things will be added unto you. That means they come after you take care of God's business. When we drop the ball and don't do things here at Christian Charity or wherever you may fellowship at, it doesn't hurt the pastor. It doesn't hurt the first lady. That's between you and God's relationship. I know. I told you this wasn't a stump your feet point. But this was just so you can know that we're dropping our guard because we're not in consistent relationship with God. So therefore, we don't have the protection around us that keeps us from the fiery darts of Satan. The Bible says, meditate in his word both day and night, and be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of water. Those three boxers up there were definitely not like a tree planted like the rivers of water. They were more like the chaff that the wind blows away. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into your own understanding, and he shall direct your path. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, all this is from God's word, which if we only see it and read it on Sunday or Tuesday, we are never protected. See, listen, everything, walk with me here. everything starts to go crazy when transition is coming. See, when we get ready to make a move for the Lord, or God is ready to use us mightily, you can always count on something to come about. The Bible says, whenever I try to do good, evil is always present. Okay, I didn't make that one up either. This is what the Bible says in the text. Now, it happened on a certain day that he got into the boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. Some of us aren't having any problems because we're not doing anything for the Lord. I know. We're not causing an impact to the kingdom, so Satan has no, he doesn't even have to bother us because we're not having any effect on the upbuilding of God's kingdom. So he lets us sit right over there in the comfort zone, and everything appears to be okay. But when you get ready to make a move in obedience to God, when you get ready to transition from this side of the lake to that side of the lake, things can be so peaceful that you can fall asleep. And as soon as you close your eyes, boom, trouble comes. It can go from a good day to a bad day in a phone call. It can go from a good day to a bad day in a text message. It can go from a good day to a bad day in a Facebook post. It takes 1 second, and the day can be messed up. How can Peter, an experienced fisherman, be on the boat with Jesus and be scared of the storm? Peter was a fisherman, and he was scared of the storm. This couldn't have been his first storm. Some of us are only talking to Jesus when we want something, when we need something, or when the storms of life are raging. See, anybody can dance in the sun. Anybody can dance when the rainbow's out. But see, can we praise them during the tornado? Can we praise them during the hurricane? Can we praise them when you're in the innermost part of the prison, like Paul and Silas? Can you praise them when you know you're going to go into the fiery furnace like the Hebrew boys? Can you praise them after you lose everything like Job? Can you praise him while the storms of life are raging? Can you praise him while your family's tripping? Can we praise him while the people at your job is off the charts? Can you praise him when your body's aching? Can you praise him when your bank account is in the red? Can you praise him when people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing? See, we have the power to speak to the storm. Did y'all know that? We have the power to speak to the storm. Unconditional praise confuses the devil. Unconditional praise, it makes the demons itch and break out in hives. When I'm attacking you and you saying in the name of Jesus, I love you, it confuses me. When I'm attacking your family and you said the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, it makes me scratch my head. When you're in the hospital sick on your sick bed and you still, this little light of mine, it makes me angry because everything I'm doing to you, and I can't take away your praise. What is it about storms that make us question God's love? Storms will make you change your whole position. Like I told you, if that boxer keeps hitting you in your ribs, eventually he's going to start tugging down like this. And as soon as you put this hand down to guard the ribs, he's going to knock you out right here. So that storm on my ribs causes me to change my position and quit protecting my face, and then I'm knocked out. Write this down. It's not about where you speak to, but it's about where you speak from. Okay, we're going to clarify it. It's not about where you speak to, but about where you speak from. You can't speak. We can't speak what we don't have. Okay. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen? So what I'm saying is how can you speak peace if you're full of war? How can you speak certainty and assurity if you're full of doubt? How can you speak love if you're full of hate? How can you speak joy to a situation if you're full of anger? You can't. You can't speak what you don't have. If you don't believe in healing, you can't speak to a sickness. If people around here ready to fight and you full of hatery and all type of anger yourself, you can't speak peace to that situation because you don't have it to speak. That's why we can't move and talk to our storms, because we don't believe on the inside. We don't have the relationship with God to do the greater works that he said we do. But it's contingent on our relationship with God. See, ships are created to sail on water. That's what they do. Right, Brother Freddie? It don't matter how much water's around them. They will sail and go over all the water and the waves, and they'll just, I mean, you put us in the water for 2 seconds with no bay or with no landing, and we'll drown. We can't do that. We can't be in the middle of the ocean with nowhere to go. I don't care how good you can swim, you can't. But a ship was designed to float. It can sail through anything. But read Luke 8:23b. Now check this out. I'm going somewhere with it. I'm almost done too. And they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. See, the storm didn't necessarily scare them at first, because that really wasn't the issue, because the storm was around them. The water was around them. They didn't get scared until what was around them started to fill them up. All right, we almost there. So listen, we got stuff around us that can't touch us, but because we're not in a consistent relationship with God, what's on the outside starts to penetrate into the inside, and the very thing that's trying to attack us from the outside is getting in. The storm is not that bad on the outside, but when it starts to consume us with worry, when it starts to consume us with anxiety, when it starts to consume us with panic, and we start to doubt God, then you got yourself a full-fledged level 5 storm. When we pass through the troubled waters, God says, I'll be there. The Bible says that when the enemies come in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against them. The Bible says that when my enemies come in to eat up my flesh, they will stumble and fall. The Bible says that the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's going to guard our hearts with peace of God, because if I can sit here and break bread with all my haters out there, that's peace. If I can sit here and eat with all the people that want to do harm to me, and I can eat my food and not have to worry about nothing, that's peace. That's stupid peace. That's I can't even explain it peace. That's the kind of peace that people can't even comprehend. That's the type of peace that people got to figure it out. Got them scratching their head because I'm sitting here smiling while you stabbing me in my back. I got peace. I'm done worrying, and we need to be done panicking and be done stressing and be done not sleeping. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to sleep tonight. A little church and God in Christ for you. A little Kojic for you. We're going to sleep tonight. We tired of not sleep. Satan is trying to steal the quality of life from us by having us consumed with worry and anxiety. And my last point. Now we've made up our mind that we're going to stop worrying. And we said that we're going to start praying. And then we said we're going to stop dropping our guard so we can quit getting knocked out. But in order to do all this, we have to start remembering. Start remembering. Luke 8:25 says what he said to them. Where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, check this out, here it go. Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. His very own disciples forgot who they was on the ship with. They forgot all that Jesus had told them and how powerful he was and whose he was and where he had come from. They forgot that he was the Son of God. They forgot that he was the Rose of Sharon. They forgot that he had all power in heaven and earth in his hand. They forgot that he was God in the flesh. We forget all the time that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We have to start remembering. And then I'm reminded when times get hard, I have to remember what Jesus did back on Calvary. I have to remember that they whipped him all night long. I have to remember that he was found guilty even though he was innocent. I have to remember that they made him carry his cross up Golgotha's hill. I have to remember that they numbered him in between the two thieves. I have to remember that they put a crown of thorns on his head. I have to remember that they drove nails through his hands and nails through his feet. I have to remember that he never said a mumbling word. I have to remember that he could have called down a legion of angels to stop the whole thing. I have to remember that he did it because he loves me so dearly. Do you remember? I remember that between the sixth and the ninth hour, that he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. I remember that there was a great earthquake. I remember the prophecy that said that the bones of the Savior would not be broken. So they pierced him in his side. And I remember that the word said that the blood and the water poured out for the washing and the renewing of our sins. Oh, I remember that they laid him in old man Joseph's borrowed tomb because the Bible says so. I remember that he laid there all night Friday night because the Bible said so. I remember that he laid there all night Saturday night because the Bible said so. And then early Sunday morning, before the sun cracked the sky, it was early Sunday morning before the rooster crowed. It was early Sunday morning before the baker started to knead his dough. It was early, y'all. And I remember it because the Bible told me so. And the Bible says that he got up with all power. Not some of the power, but all power. I can sleep because he got up. I can rest because he never sleeps. I can be at peace because he's the Prince of Peace. I can speak to my situation because greater is he. I'm not going to speak out of what I think. I'm going to speak out what I know. I'm going to speak out of my prayer life, Joe. I'm going to speak out of my word, Pastor. I'm going to speak out of great. How great is he? I'm going to speak out of all the stuff that he's done for me. Come hell or high water, storms or attacks, we got to remember that we can't drop our guard. We got to remember that God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I declare on today, some of us are under attack right now. Some of us are in a storm right now. And I went back and I thought about people that goes here to Christian Charity. And Brother Herb came to my mind. And I said, Brother Herb, the reason why Satan attacks you and puts you through the storm is because he's tired of you wreaking havoc in the kingdom. He's tired of you praying people through. He's tired of you teaching people right from wrong. He's tired of you giving them a double hemorrhoid. He's tired. You're on dangerous ground, Brother Herb. Sister Danielle, the Lord, the devil's on you because there's a praise down in your spirit. And the Satan is trying to take it away. But I declare and decree, you up here singing. I declare and decree, you back at rehearsal. I declare and decree, greater is he. Right now, Satan is trying to destroy you. He doesn't want you to do the things that God has in store for you. But I guarantee you that eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard. Neither has entered into the hearts of man what God has in store for you. If we could see it, we wouldn't need faith. If we could touch it, we wouldn't need faith. I thought about my father and how Satan tried to take him out. Tried to kill him. And I said, why? And the Lord told me that Satan is so mad at the vision that's inside this man that he tried to kill him. But the Lord said, there's a hedge of protection around him. And you can't take him out lest I say so. So you're going to live and not die. I don't care who comes and who goes. You're going to live and not die. I don't care who serves faithfully and who goes. You're going to live and not die. I can't name every situation, but I know what he told me. When the doctor said, you're so big, I don't think you're going to live to see 40. And I heard the Lord say, you're going to live and not die. I'm not going to believe nothing that the doctor tell me until God says so. So God gave me a plan, and he helped me start getting this weight off me. And he said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So now when the doctor tells you a bad report, okay, doc, this is me. I'm going to go home and get some sleep. Your kids are acting up. I'm going to whoop your butt, and I'm going to go home and somebody going to lose some sleep in here. But it ain't going to be me. I don't care what the storm is. I don't care if it's raining or lightning. I'm going to get some sleep.